Matt Brown interviewing Dave Sigler at 401 Indian Oaks Drive in Anniston, Alabama, on April 3, 1995. The subject of this interview is the Vietnam War. What is your date of birth?
My date of birth is 2nd of November, 1937.
And where was that?
Washington, D.C.
And who are your parents' names?
My dad's name was Ferris, and my mother was Helen.
Okay. Where did you receive your high school and college education?
I attended Montgomery Blair High School in Silver Spring, Maryland, graduated in 1955, and attended the University of Maryland from 1956 for 1 year, and then came back after a tour in the Army, an enlisted tour in the Army in 59, finished up in 62, and then came back and got a master's degree in 68.
Okay, so really your first job was in the Army?
My first job was in the Army as a private.
Okay. Why did you decide to join the service?
Well, back in 56 when I joined, initially pretty much everybody either joined the Army, one of the services, or waited around to be drafted. Since my dad was a retired Army officer, I decided to go in the Army then. Later on, I went back in the service because I wanted to be commissioned and thought I'd like to make a career out of the Army back when I went in 62.
Where were you stationed then in your first, after you went in 62?
In 62, I started out, I got a commission in the Air Force through officer training school in the Air Force with the intent of transferring to the Army. And I, as soon as I was commissioned in the Air Force, I put in for a transfer. And it took about a year to transfer out. I was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base in the Air Force there. And then in 63, I was assigned to Fort Benning, Georgia, in the Army with the 2nd Infantry Division.
Okay. When did you go to Vietnam?
I went to Vietnam in 1965 to 66. Over Fort Benning.
Where were you first stationed in Vietnam?
Vietnam, I was with the 1st Cav, and the 1st Cavalry was stationed on K, which was in the Central Highlands, fairly mountainous area that was had fairly temperate climate. It wasn't really the tropics. It was parts where it weren't all that hot and fairly dry.
Was there a lot of battle there?
We didn't stay long in our base camp. The Vietnam War was a little different, where you didn't really fight for terrain. You sought out the enemy and tried to engage the enemy. And since we were all air mobile, the only air mobile force the Army's ever had, complete division that was air mobile, our mission was to seek out and go from one end of the country to the other, wherever the enemy happened to be. So we initially got to our base camp at An Ke and it was September of 65, and fought for the first 30 days around our base camp because we were probed by Viet Cong guerrillas at night and things like that, but fairly minor skirmishes for the first 30 days or so.
After then, were you involved in any heavier battles?
After that, looking back, I think I was involved in what they call three primary battles. They give awards for campaigns is a proper term. I served in three different combat campaigns from the fall there of 65 through the fall of 66.
Okay. What types of combat were most widely used in that?
Well, most of it was just small unit, the majority of it, except for one or two battles, most of it was just small unit ambushes, contact from 100 yards to 200 yards, even closer than 100 yards. Unlike any other war we fought, of course, it was fought at close range, and you seldom saw the enemy. The enemy was in the trees or in holes in the ground covered up that you just couldn't see him. So that made it a completely different war than Korea or World War II, of course.
Was it something you were unprepared for? Or?
No, we were well prepared. We had trained at Fort Benning. Even before I joined the 1st Cav, we had trained in counterinsurgency, and that was the we knew in 63, 64 we were sending advisors to Vietnam then, and we knew that it was just a matter of time that we'd have American troops there. So we were training as best we could in the States in counter-guerrilla and counterinsurgency type training.
So that really prepared you pretty well for what you were going to say, right?
I think so, although nothing prepares you probably for being shot at. You just have to, it has to happen, and you react to it. But we got pretty good by the end of the year, or 6 months or so. We got pretty good at it.
So where did you go after that first year?
Then I got out of the Army. My active duty tour was up. That gave me my obligated tour was 4 years in the Army after I was commissioned, and my time was up, and I got out and went to grad school.
So you just spent the 1 year in Vietnam?
I spent the 1 year in Vietnam, and then I spent the rest of my military career in the Army Reserve, retiring a couple of years ago.
During Vietnam, how did you feel about the anti-war protesters in America?
Well, starting out, of course, when I was there in 65, 66, we didn't really hear about the protests. It was just the start of the war. Stars and Stripes didn't print probably many negative things, and they probably still don't. We got probably just one side of the news, not both sides, and I don't recall too much of an anti-war sentiment. The country was pretty much behind us, and the troops were behind the effort. It was only later on in the late 60s, early 70s that you had the war protests, that you had the drug problem with the troops, low morale, things like that. Our morale was very high, and really we could care less what people thought about us back home. It didn't really come up.
So what rank were you at the time?
For the time, I went over as a first lieutenant for about half my tour, and then I made captain about halfway through.
So were you in command of many troops?
Well, I started out as a rifle company executive officer, which is the second in command of a company. And we were supposed to have about 120 troops in our company, and we probably had closer to 100 most of the time.
So how were you and your troops accepted by the South Vietnamese?
We didn't deal too much with the South Vietnamese. The civilian, we didn't work much at all with the South Vietnamese Army. We did deal with the civilians a little bit, and they basically were very pro-American, very anti-Viet Cong, North Vietnamese. We had no, in most areas we went into, we didn't have any hostile civilians to deal with. They pretty much supported us. They knew that we were trying to help them defend their country. And they weren't treated well by the North Vietnamese. I mean, we might not have done the greatest job in handling the civilian population, but we saw many cases where the North Vietnamese had tortured villagers into working for them, into carrying ammunition for them, and things like that. So they were glad to see us.
What are some of your most vivid memories of the war, or the people throughout, people in the war? The South Vietnamese, whatever. What are some of your most vivid memories that come back to you when you think about it?
Well, it's kind of all. It's been many years since I come back, really returned from Vietnam. But I probably the one or two battles stick in my mind. The I Drang Valley, because it's been written about in a recent book and things like that. The Battle of the I Drang probably is the one incident that I still think about.
What made that such a famous battle?
Well, it was the first time that American force, really the only time that a very large North Vietnamese force decided to do battle with an American force. The American force ended up at the time was probably no more than 500 or 600 men. It developed into a battle against maybe several thousand Americans versus probably close to 10,000 North Vietnamese regulars. So it was their first chance to fight a conventional type of war against us, and it was the last time they did that. The last time they, very early in the war, but they never committed that many troops against Americans again. And the unit I was with won the Presidential Unit Citation. We were the only unit in the war to win that award.
But you didn't really know that it was the famous battle that was going to be at the time you were in it.
No, that's correct. The time we're in it, we just thought that happened in November 65, and we thought, well, we'd only been there a couple months, that this would be the type of action we'd probably see every other month or so. As it turned out, it was the only battle of that type in the whole history of the war.
What were your particular responsibilities in that battle, you and your troops?
Well, I started out on the 16th of November as I was the executive officer. My duties were to resupply. We were in a landing zone about 5 miles away from the major battle, and I was flying, bringing in ammunition and food during the day. And on the last trip that I made in on the night of the 16th, I was told to stay. I had planned to go back, and my gear was back in at a forward staging area. I was told to stay, that my company commander had malaria, had a fever of 105, and I'd have to take the company into LZ Albany, which turned out to be a huge ambush. And it so happened that I went up and reconned the area and flew over the battle area as the battle was going on. And by the time I got back, my company commander said he felt pretty good. His fever was down, and he'd go ahead and take the company. And believe me, I was relieved, because I didn't even know where I was. He handed me his map, and I went up and I came back, and I was certainly confused. He probably could sense that. But looking back, I certainly wish I'd gone with him. But we lost maybe 5 or 6 men, I guess, in that ambush. We played it fairly conservative and didn't risk very much at night. We probably had 10 or 15 guys wounded and several killed. But that was the start of our part of the engagement. We were attacked then the next night in my area where I was, and that was my part of the battle. Probably lasted for all one evening through the night and a couple hours in the morning. But that was the next day.
So how long did the entire battle last?
My part of the battle lasted, like I say, for a short time. The engagement started on the 14th of November, 1965. With Colonel Moore's landing at the base of Chupong Mountain in the Idrang Valley. He picked the spot out on the mountain and said, "I think the enemy's there. The intelligence reports say they're on that mountain. I want to take my battalion and land at the base of that mountain." And that's what he did. They allowed him to go in and land at the base of the mountain, not expecting to find several thousand North Vietnamese waiting for him. And he barely got all his troops in the landing zone. And that's when the battle started on the 14th. And then we got in on the tail end of it after our fight in Albany on the 17th and at LZ Columbus on the 18th. That was really the last engagement. It lasted 2 or 3 days in the Idrang. It had started with an ambush probably 20 miles away of a South Vietnamese column, and then gradually spread into this area.
So you were aware of the ambush? Okay.
Yeah, that had happened days before. Right. And our whole sole purpose was to seek out, find the enemy and destroy them. And we hadn't been very good at that. We hadn't been very good at finding this guy. Hal Moore did it. He found them. And that's one of the reasons he was, he was always thought of during the war and in later years too, that as probably the best tactician of the war, because he wasn't afraid to fly right in on top and engage the enemy. And kind of an unusual tactic, but one that worked, although some historians look at that battle as a huge defeat for the U.S. We lost, Colonel Moore lost a whole lot of troops. Probably half his command was either killed or wounded, a lot more wounded, of course, than killed. But again, he wrote a book recently, We Were Soldiers Once and Young, and in there he depicts the small unit action that went on all around him for several days, and the heroic acts by some of his troops was really amazing. That's what makes the book such an amazing book. It's firsthand knowledge of Americans engaged in really the first combat in Vietnam of any serious nature.